that's right. This is a truly great honor this morning to have somebody who works tirelessly with the Library of Congress and the Veterans History Project. She's been here to Greenwood. I consider her one of my good friends here. She is here with us this morning. Colonel Karen Lloyd, how are you doing on this very busy Memorial Day weekend?
Hi, Ann. I'm doing great, and thank you so much for this opportunity to talk with you and your listeners about how important veterans and their voices are.
Well, they are. Our veterans' voices are. And, you know, part of the problem is that with your project, you're honoring those that have gone before with Memorial Day, but we need those voices of our veterans. Do you know, I've collected over 50 people that want to give their story right down here in Greenwood, Karen.
We are so proud of the work that you and everyone in Greenwood is doing. I look forward to a return trip. I'm so proud of the partnership and the collaboration that we've had to date, and I just know it's got nothing but the sky's the limit.
Well, you know, I know that it certainly is a project that is close to your heart, but when we lose somebody and we know we don't get their story, one of my problems is, Karen, people are always saying, oh, I didn't do anything. And I always have to say, tell us.
And I'm guilty of that. When I was asked to do my interview, and I had served for 28 years, I said, but I was a part of a team, and I don't have a story. And I think when the interviewers listen, really listen to the veterans and ask them, you know, questions, the best question I've discovered is, and then what happened next? Because that's the question that my interviewer asked me. And I thought about things I hadn't thought about in 40 years. A little scary, but at the same time, really cathartic, kind of working through all of those memories and talking about them.
Well, Gracie's been putting a few comments in, I guess you heard. But yeah,
Good for her.
Right. But that's what it's all about. You know, I talked to one guy, Karen, who has agreed to give his story. He is actually was a map reader over there in Vietnam. And he goes, "Wow, I can't tell you my story. I lost too many friends." And then I started talking to him about the contribution and how would we know what the job was that he did and how important it was if he didn't share that story. And in the
end, a perfect technique.
Right, and what he said in the end is, all right, and I said, you don't have to talk about all aspects of it. I think that's another part. You know, people are they don't want to talk about some parts, but there's such a rich story that you can get from our veterans.
You are so spot on, and that is so true. And we don't need the whole story, but we want the part of the story that every veteran's willing to share.
So I know that you are traveling all over and trying to get people to tell their stories. You know, I saw something on your Facebook page, the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. We seem to forget that sometimes, don't we?
Well, we actually do. And I think it's so important that I would hope that people before the festivities start, especially on Memorial Day on Monday, that people will take a moment to truly think about folks that made the ultimate sacrifice, because that's really what Veterans Day is all about. And we have a program, Congress expanded our ability to collect stories a couple years ago, and we are looking for those Gold Star families and their stories. We want those first-person accounts from their loved ones who died when they were or died of injuries as a result of direct action or in combat. We would love to have those Gold Star families come forward, and we understand it's not easy, but we don't want to lose those voices we don't want to lose those stories of those key folks that in fact gave the ultimate sacrifice.
That is so true, and I think it is great that the Library of Congress is out there. this is a way to have their personal collection, whether the veteran gives their story or as you're talking about the Gold Star family. It's an excellent way to preserve it forever.
Well, that's exactly right. And we have a world-class conservation preservation lab. So give us those pictures. And I know how personally how difficult it is to give up those originals. But when you realize that when you give up those originals, their condition is going to be assessed. And if any conservation preservation work, that's going to occur. So, in fact, it will be available for future generations. And who better for future generations to hear about what the service, what that selfless service was like than from the veterans themselves or from those Gold Star families that can truly talk about what their veteran was like.
You are so right. So that is why we're trying to get stories because we are lagging behind in South Carolina. I understand we only have about 1,200. And yet we are rich with veterans right here in South Carolina.
I like to call it a target-rich environment.
Target-rich, yeah. Coming from a colonel. That is so true. Well, I certainly wanted just to reach out to you for just a minute. I wanted to be able to say how much I appreciate our friendship and I appreciate what you do out there because if it wasn't for somebody who had been in the military, seen what happened, and then like the story about your husband, now, he didn't die in combat, but he died before he gave his story, and I know how much that bothers you.
It bothers an awful lot. He was in combat. He earned a Silver Star when he was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he, for the longest period of time, wouldn't talk about it. And we went on a family vacation to Normandy, and we went to this museum in Armange that talks about Normandy. And on the bus back, he said, "I think I'm ready. I understand why it's important." And he, as you, died of a heart attack 3 days later.
And so that story was untold, even though other people have told their story about that event. You don't get it from his perspective, and that's a little piece that's actually missing.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why I am hoping that everyone on Memorial Day will reach out to the veterans in their lives and listen, really listen to their stories so that we can get all of those firsthand remembrances. And think about the photographs. We would love to have the photographs as well, or perhaps a memoir, or perhaps their diaries from those period of time. It's amazing what people have written in the diaries that we currently have. I am amazed every day by it.
Now, if people want to go on and see what you're talking about, where do they go?
Please go to lfc.gov/vet. And what I would ask you to, I would encourage you to do is go up the Experiencing the War product that we put up. We change it quarterly. We've done over 60 different themes of stories of veterans so that if you're interested in pilots or chaplains, or our current one is about the integration of the military, I would ask you to think about those. We have one that I absolutely adore. It was done maybe a year ago, and it's called The Art of War. And it's about the artists that were veterans that not only used it as a way to relieve their stress, they chose to donate their 2D artwork to the library. And it's one of the best, one of my favorites. I know I'm not supposed to have a favorite, but it's one of my favorites.
I think you're allowed to have favorites. That sounds great. Well, listen, I know you are so, so busy, and I just wanted you to call in, and I appreciate you taking the time so much. Colonel Karen Lloyd, thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, Anne, thank you so much for reaching out.